T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Are you ready?
It's Afternoons with OMF.
NBA players have been paid well over 50% of their salaries already. There'll be some back and forth, certainly, about how much they get paid to finish the season, but it won't be a nuclear winner. Now, baseball seems to be walking that path.
There is no chance that baseball is being played in 2021. The season is over.
Look, the bottom line is money talks, and if they want to do it, I think there are more people that don't right now than the ones that do.
For lack of better words, somebody's going to get screwed. You don't want to have a COVID cup. Whoever wins the cup is going to have people trying to take it away from them their whole lives.
Could we implement the current CDC guidelines and have significantly less fans than we're used to? I think it's possible.
Right now on Sports Radio WEEI.
All right, back here on OMF, Lou pulled the plug on Major League Baseball yesterday, and he pulled the plug on a long weekend. I don't blame him, all right? Weather's good.
Me either.
Why not? Yeah, I don't blame him at all.
It's going to rain on Saturday, though. Just saying, Mutt.
Sucks.
Just saying, Mutt and Lou. Saying. Enjoy your weekend.
Hope is bad.
See what the weekend. Let me see what the weather is for next weekend, because I think I'm taking off. Let me look it up here.
All right, 617-779-7937. It's amazing. I'm looking at the text line. People are killing me, saying you're crazy. You're crazy if you think that basketball is better today and guys are more athletic and better than what they were in the 80s. I mean, fundamentally, they were sound in the 80s. There's no question about that. But if you're talking about athleticism and quickness and defense, I think it's much better today.
You would have to tell me how old those people are.
That's a good question.
I want age. If you go by age demographics.
I'm one of those older in the older demo, and I'm sitting here telling you, and I loved emotionally. I was so attached. That was my job back in the 80s, and I would tell you this. This basketball, these guys are better. They're better. They're more athletic. They're quicker. You're getting, in those days, the seven-footers were guys that, you know, they walked up and down the floor. They didn't run. They walked. Today, you've got seven-footers who handle the ball like they're guards.
Yeah.
What's Giannis? What is he? He's a seven-foot point guard. What are we talking about?
Yeah, no, I hear you. It is, it's one of those things where, you know, if you can't see it, then you haven't compared them in a while. You haven't been able to compare them for a while, because I think that I don't think it's even close.
But I think I can say that about all of sports, and I would say it about football as well. And you just brought up linemen, you know, and the difference in size right now. I'll tell you the other thing, and we've seen even more of it here, Christian, in the last 5 or 10 years, and that is the quickness now of defense. That's what teams are striving for. They're trying to get quick off the edge, but quick off the middle. So this is a pass rush up the middle right now, where before it was a bigger, fatter guys that were stopping the run, and you're seeing linebackers right now that are really safeties, aren't they?
Yeah, yeah, no, and it's fine, because it just stood out to me, or maybe it was the short shorts and the long socks and the shoes.
We thought that was a good look. We did. When you look back at it now,
floppy hair.
Yeah,
yeah. Maybe that's what it was that just caused me. But to me, it just stood out a little. Maybe it was the grainy footage. I was trying to see if I could find you somewhere.
I've shown up in some of these. Yeah, I've seen myself in these.
He's going, hey, Kevin McHale, I'm over here. Come talk to me.
I have unfortunately seen myself in a few of these.
Picked up in there. Now's the little fella.
Oh, the little fella. The big guy. We mentioned that for some reason ESPN decided they were announcing today that Tom Brady is producing a 9-part series along with Gautam Chopra and that whole crew of his. 169, is that what it is? Is that the company he's involved in? Is that
69?
199, excuse me, 199, which is which we know is his number that he was drafted because he doesn't want anybody to forget it. It's not going over so big of announcing it. Now, I would say this. Pro Football Talk, which I believe is Mike Florio tweeting this out, might be a little over the top. You tell me, or a little too harsh. So he's got the link there to ESPN orders a Tom Brady docuseries produced by Tom Brady. And then his comment is, if a third world dictator produced a documentary on the life of said third world dictator, we'd laugh out loud. When an athlete does it, we lap it up.
Oh, man.
Mm-hmm. That might be a little too much, I would say. But how about this? If LeBron announced today that he was doing this 9-part documentary on his life, still playing the game now, at an advanced age, what would we all be saying here in New England?
We'd be killing him.
Killing
him. Yeah, we'd be killing him. God, you sure do love yourself some you.
Yep.
You sure do. You, man, you've never looked in the mirror and said, wow, that guy's ugly. Because to me, that's what it's about. I don't like the fact that he's doing this personally. I don't think he needs to. And even when you hear the sound, when you hear him describe it, and you said this, it's just one big long infomercial. Why it's good to be me. Why you should follow my regimen. Why you should do what I'm doing. Why the average person could have everything that I have. It's Tony Robbins-esque.
He's wrong. We can't. Okay. The common person out there can't be right now Tom Brady. That's why we call him the GOAT. That's why he is the greatest that ever played the game. That's why all of these other hundreds of thousands of guys who have played football don't play to his level. I give him all the credit in the world. He's drafted in the sixth round, 199. I just said it. So he's worked at it. It's a credit to him, but you're right. Do we need to hear 9-part series 30 years from now, 20 years from now, when maybe this Bill's willing to talk? Maybe Tom's talking and a little bit more frank and honest about what went on, and we have Josh or other people doing the same, other players, maybe you or others doing the same. That, to me, is fascinating. We're going to get this early in 2021, so they're working on it right now. What are we really going to get that's going to be honest and frank other than he's going to be throwing a bunch of TB12 garbage at us?
Yeah, and you know what? You really can't. One, you won't hear one player say anything negative about him.
Nope.
I mean, not even. And if they did, then they have an axe to grind. They really have. There's something personal with it. And two, you know, you're not going to hear anything derogatory. You're not going to hear him tell you stories about what really. You're not going. No one's going to hand him a tablet and say, here, watch what Terrell Suggs said. Here's what Kraft said about you. And you're not going to see him chuckle and laugh because we've said it before. Jordan was a jerk. Jordan would go at you. Jordan would challenge you. He would go at GMs. He would go at reporters. He was a trash talker. Brady is high road all day long. No matter what he was going through, no matter how many people were coming after him, he chose the high road. Not anymore, though. To me, I think it's different. To me, this is the beginning, like I said, of a new Brady, of a new era.
Okay, you've said this now for a while, and you might be right. If that is the case, is this going to be different? So he was cryptic in Tom versus Time, right? And so what we would do is we would, see it aired, and then what we would do is the very next day on the show, we would sit there and pick apart little lines. Oh, he meant this. Oh, he meant this. Oh, I think he was being cryptic about this. Oh, this was about sticking it to Bill. I don't think are you going to get any of that in this? And how is it going to make a difference? Matter of fact, if anything, if you get any of that, he's going to be a member of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. How are these Patriot fans who loved and adored him? How are they going to feel if he starts taking some shots in this thing? I don't think he's going to, but how are they going to feel about it?
It really is. You sit there and go, why? Why now? So wait, when is it going to air? 2021?
Yes, early 2021.
Early. So as soon as
my guess is right after the 2020 season, probably off season, right? That's when they do it.
Yeah, and they're probably filming now. They'll get him in the offs. They'll get him during the playoffs. They'll get all that stuff, and he's probably banking on a successful little 2020 year. I'm sure that, you know, the transformation, what he went through, how he dealt with this, you know, how we reinvented his body, all this other stuff. But I just don't know what you're going to see that we haven't already seen before. That's why I thought the Howard Stern interview was kind of just, man, kind of done that before. So, and the best thing you got was in Tom versus Time, when he was sitting there and he was talking about, you know, after the game, hey, we really needed you, you know. But even the footage from his house when he was talking about, you know, when he was with his kids, you just didn't get anything. Oh, so he gets up in the morning and he makes breakfast. So do I. I mean, I just don't know.
He cuts the bananas off of both,
you know,
hands,
and if you sit there and you you know what he talked about in Howard Stern, that time in his life where he really had to make a decision and change how he lived his life as far as how he devoted and what he devoted his time to. It seems to me when I saw that, when I listened to that in Howard Stern, that she basically gave him an ultimatum. If you don't change your ways, I'm leaving you. Like, if you don't change your ways, this is not going to last for
That's
us.
We because... already know that. Is he just going to repeat
exactly.
that?
Exactly. So what am I getting?
What are we going to get out
am
of
Am I going to hear from Vince Wolfork? Am I going to hear from Ben Watson? And or, you know, well, hear from
Vince
Deion Branch?
Say that, how is Vince going to say anything negative about him?
He's a ninja? I know he's a ninja.
He's producing it, so he's not going to allow anything that is going to be, you know, really negative in it, unless he wants to respond to something that you know, Deflategate or something like that. That might be it. That might be the most you get out of it. That, you know, a few years removed, he's willing to talk about Deflategate, and he's willing to say some stuff about it. But what is he going to say? He's not going to sit there and say, oh, yeah, I took the air out. He's not doing that. He's saying the same stuff that he was saying back when it was happening. I did nothing to the balls. I directed nobody to do anything to the balls. What is going to be new?
Yeah, so, yeah, and again, there's so you think about the great times in Jordan's life. It was dad dying, baseball, returning, the last season, different characters coming in. I can sit there and write this for you. I can tell you how it's going to start. I don't know whether they'll go back and forth like The Last Dance did, but it's going to, you know, be in that regard. His first win, his relationship with Drew Bledsoe, you know, Charlie Weiss, Josh McDaniels, his dad, his mom, Welker, Edelman, when he got hurt, his rehab, naked pictures of him, and you know, all, you know, Deflategate, you name it, Spygate, you name it, it's going to be there.
So 20 years from now, if he puts this out, and he's going to put it out next year. If he puts it out 20 years from now, I think it has some interest because everybody has been removed from the history of it. And so, therefore, people are more likely to talk. They're more reflective. They have a different look back at all of this stuff, right? When you're still involved in it, is he not going to be protective of what he says? Let's say they have major problems next season. And you don't think they're going to. I think there might be some issues. Let's say he has some issues next year with the Tampa Bay Bucks. Is that going to show up in the 9-part documentary series? Oh, my God, it was a much better situation with New England. Guys weren't really willing to really be disciplined and do what I wanted them to do when I went to Tampa Bay. They had been set in their own ways. Maybe that's how history plays out next year, Christian. Does anybody think that would be part of a documentary when he's still playing for the Tampa Bay Bucks? No.
I'm telling you, the only thing that's missing is at the end of it, hey, here's your chance to go on a private island and learn my method with Tony Robbins. See, I remember I actually did a couple workouts years and years and years ago with Tony Robbins. And I remember the workouts that we were doing, he invited other people from these retreats to join him. Like, so they would, we would go to these workouts, and these people at these retreats would go to these workouts. And I was like, what are these clowns doing at this workout? They have no business running and training and lifting with us. Yet it was this whole, hey, you know, if you think it, you can be it type of thing. And I'm like, uh-uh. No matter what you think, you know, how often you think about it, this is never going to be equal. So, but it was, and I think that's, why I think that's the road he's going down. I think he's going down the empowerment, public speaking, be a bigger person because he's not negative. And I would say you can't even compare him to Jordan because Jordan sells sneakers.
Yeah.
It's easy to sell sneakers.
Right.
What he's doing has to, he constantly needs to market it. He constantly needs to prove that it's worth it and you can do it. And he constantly needs to peddle all the nutrition factors that go into TB12.
Okay.
Well, Jordan doesn't.
So does anybody believe that in this documentary he does, that he's going to sit there and let doctors come on there? There was a doctor yesterday who said, you're pissing your money away. I saw Alex Reimer had the guy quoted. You're pissing your money away if you're buying this supplement to strengthen your immune system. That's what he said, basically the TB12 method, right? Are they going to put those doctors on? Are they going to have Brady challenging those doctors or those doctors challenging Brady? I just don't believe they're going to do that. I think you're right. I think this is going to be an infomercial. I think it's going to be to promote TB12, to promote the lifestyle, optimism. He's always very optimistic. I mean, he's had an opportunity here. People keep on saying there was all sorts of stuff going on behind the scenes. You don't hear Tom Brady saying any of that.
Yeah.
On the way out, high road. So he's taking the high road. High road don't work in documentaries. Did Michael Jordan take the high road in some of these interviews? Are you kidding me? He ripped Jerry Krause. Ripped him.
I think the question is, when does Brady fatigue set in? I feel like with free agency and how long that was, and how every day it was Tom Brady nationally, not just locally. This is before the coronavirus. Nationally, it was every single day, different stories. And then now, and he, I don't think he was pushing that narrative. I think other people were pushing that narrative. Now he's controlling the narrative. He's pushing the dialogue. He's getting attention. He's working on attention from Instagram to Twitter, everything. He's involved in everything.
I'll tell you how I believed it, how long it's going to last. And let's give you a scenario. If next year Tom Brady is okay and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are a 8-8 or 9-7 team and maybe they're squeezing in as the last team in the playoffs and they lose in that first game in the playoffs, and the New England Patriots are 8-8 or 9-7 and yet they have a Jarrett Stidham, a young kid who's making some mistakes but is showing you that there's some potential there, he could be pretty good. And Belichick has done a pretty good job of drafting some of these defensive players. So I'm not saying the Patriots win 12 games, 13 games. I'm saying all they do is tease you a little bit and show that there's some potential here. There's some future. And Brady only takes his team to slightly above 500 and they're knocked off in the first round. That's when it'll begin. That's when it'll begin. You'll start getting people saying Belichick knew what he was doing. He was getting rid of Brady 1 year before he was running out the course. You'll get that. He has to be good. He has to be very good next year in Tampa Bay for this to work for Tom Brady. I keep on saying that, and you keep on telling me he will be that good.
Yeah.
Okay, you may be right. He may be. He's going to have to be that good for them to win. He can't be what he was last year. He has to be much better. Much better.
Well, I think just by the nature of the weapons and the talent that he has around him, I think we can all, barring any injury.
But that sets a higher bar for him in that you look at it next year, and let's say he's not doing what he doesn't look great. People are going to look at it and say, oh, my God, he's got all the weapons. What the hell happened?
You know me. I mean, you know this, Glenn. You know that's not going to happen. You didn't think he was some dog last year because his skills had diminished. You know he's not some dog player. He's going to be a great player. I know, but
he's the greatest player to ever play the game.
If we can,
how do you think Josh Allen's going to be? Falls apart.
How do you think Sam Darnold's going to be this year?
I don't know how Sam Darnold's going to be. He showed signs last year that.
What do you mean?
I would say this. If they get that out of Stidham, that he has a couple bad games, and there are a couple other games, three or four or five games, in which you look at and say, oh, my God, this kid, you know, once he gets some reps under him, could be pretty damn good. People here will be at least satisfied, somewhat satisfied.
I'm just saying.
But
you can,
Brady's
got to
be good. He's got to be real good.
I know. You keep saying it.
At 43, like, real good.
Oh, there it is.
When's it ever happened before?
Penny.
This would be a first.
When has it ever happened? How many different examples do you want me to give you?
Give me one. 43.
Warren Moon.
Did not do it at 43.
You have to factor in time and age, and you carry the one and the space-time continuum, and then you get what Warren Moon – if Warren Moon – I'm telling. I was with him. I played with. We had him on the show. He talked about it.
Listen, I'm not disputing that Tom Brady could be good next year because he's the greatest to ever play the position. We know that. But he has to be good. So if the elbow's bothering him, the shoulder's bothering him, the ankle, and that's what happens, you get those little nagging injuries, and they don't heal the way they did when they're younger, and he struggles out there, and they only win two more games with Tom Brady versus Jameis Winston. I'll tell you what, that's not going to be a good look for Tom Brady. It isn't. And that's when people will get tired of him.
Yeah, Jameis Winston will come out and say, see, it wasn't my fault.
Yep.
As he's making $1 million backing up.
And you also know, you never know what the makeup of a team is going to be, what those guys are like.
I think it's
going to
be pretty good.
Okay. It should be, but you don't know.
I think it's
going to
be pretty good.
You don't know. But, okay.
Then no, I do. Here's the
flip side, because you may be right. I'm not saying you're not going to be right. What I'm saying to you is, if the flip side happens, that Tom Brady does indeed start showing his age, and Tom Brady is not great, and it's not good enough because they're in a tough division, okay? And they don't win more than 9 games, let's say, and they get knocked off in the first round of the playoffs. How's that going to look for Tom Brady?
If he gets knocked off in the first round of the playoffs?
Yes.
It's going to look terrible.
That's it.
Okay.
He's got to be real good. That's the point. He's got to be real good.
I agree with you, and I believe he will be really good. I believe that this is coming down to this is an NFC championship. 2 or 3 plays make the difference. That's what
so,
I think.
So when you add all of these other things and you add this documentary, 9-part documentary onto all of it, and Tom Brady is struggling through the fall football season, that's when you were talking about when people become tired of him. That's when people become tired of him.
Do you think they make it to the NFC? Just go NFC Championship.
No.
One.
No,
is it good? What if he gets to the NFC Championship and loses?
That still won't be enough because they're in a 2-year window to win a Super Bowl. That's what they're saying in Tampa.
All I'm saying, that's fine. And that's what they said in Kansas City.
Right.
That's what they said in Minnesota with Brett Favre.
They won in Kansas City this year. They won.
No. Kansas City with Joe Montana. Joe Montana went to Kansas City, they went to the AFC Championship game. They lost. How about Brett Favre went to the NFC Championship game, lost, and was really his fault throwing a freaking pick so late.
So let me ask you this. Does anybody remember what Joe Montana did in Kansas City?
He
didn't go deep enough.
His team
that he left won the Super Bowl.
That's fine. The point is that the NFC Championship is probably the floor in my book for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. That's the floor. You got to get to the NFC Championship. The ceiling is winning it, being the MVP, and all that other good stuff. That's the ceiling. But the floor is the NFC Championship. And I can tell you what, Bruce Arians thinks that. Tom Brady thinks that. Every single player on that team thinks that. They all have upped their game. And I just feel like the situations are so similar with Montana because I'm hearing the same things out of Tampa Bay with the Tampa Bay players, how they relate to him, how they look at him, how they admire him, what they say about him, players that want to play there because of him. The coaching staff, how they interact with him.
They still have to win games.
They still have to win. Yes, they do.
He can't do everything. I would not be surprised at all if his numbers are pretty good and that team still is a 9-7 team. I would not be surprised at all. It's all going to be about the wins in the end. It really is. That's what it's going to be about. Let's go. People want to talk. Let's go to the phone calls. Here's Mark in Boston. Hey, Mark.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good, Mark.
Hey, just calling about this documentary. The way they did the Jordan one was awesome, and it was perfect, like the way they did it, like 20 years after the fact, and like everybody was very open and candid about everything. Don't you think this is like too early to do this documentary with Brady?
Yeah, I do.
Because you're not going to have Belichick talking. You're not going to have like real stuff happening, like Deflategate, like stuff you could potentially get 20 years down the road. People might open up. Brady might open up. Belichick might open up. Other people might open up. I don't think you're going to get any of that.
So let me ask you this. How long were the Tom versus time? Were like 15 minutes each, right?
Yeah, those were awesome. Those were good.
They were terrific, but they were 15 minutes each. This one apparently is going to be an hour each, and they're going to be nine of them. That's 9 hours.
Oh, man. But you know what it'll do? It'll start with him. It'll go back in time when he was in high school.
Movies of him as a kid. That's going to be all nice.
Home movies, his sister's picking on him, all that stuff.
Okay, but
it's going to be the same thing as Jordan. We got, 10 episodes with Jordan, 10 hours. So this is going to be 9 hours, 9 episodes. That's like... It would have been perfect to do it 20. Like, I feel like it's going to ruin the potential of like a really awesome documentary down the road.
Nah, no. I mean, here's the thing. You're right about that because even if Bill did speak, what was he going to say? He's the perfect patriot. I mean, what the hell? Where's the challenge? Where's the challenge?
Mark, you just said it. If you look at the Jordan thing, there were so many controversies. Think about them, okay?
Yeah.
So now we look at the controversies during Brady's career. And what are we talking about? We're talking about Deflategate. Does anybody think he's going to do a hardcore breakdown of Deflategate? Nope. He might defend himself the same way we've already heard him defend himself, right?
That was the problem. He should have waited until he retired. Like, not, he's still active.
Yeah. Now, is he going to do what Jordan did, what they did with Jordan? Because The Last Dance really... the reason that they did it, the catalyst for it all, was that there was a film crew doing the last year with the team on the road virtually every single day. And they came up with so much video that it was sitting in a warehouse in Secaucus, New Jersey for all this time. Nobody could figure out what to do with it because documentaries really 30 for 30. Well, what are we going to do with all of this footage? We got a zillion. And then when they came up with the idea, you know what? We can get away with long-form programming now. 10 hours. We can make it work. That's when they finally said, we've got all of this footage sitting in a warehouse in Secaucus, New Jersey. And that's when they dug that stuff out and made it. So what are they going to use for Brady? Are they going to follow Brady this year? Because I'll guarantee you Bruce Arians will allow
iPhones.
A film crew. He'll allow a film crew, won't he? Bill didn't allow
Oh, God,
a film
yeah.
crew. Yes,
oh,
he'll
yeah.
allow it. So maybe is that part of the plan?
Man, I don't know. You're asking a lot. You're asking a lot.
Well, I'm trying to figure out how you do it. If you think about that, that was a big part of 10 hours of The Last Dance.
That's a great question, Glenn.
Thank you.
I would say no.
That Bruce Arians won't allow it.
I would say no. Not the first year. Second year, your Last Dance, yeah, we'll do it. But not this year. That's what I would say.
Boy, that's going to be – then where do you come up with all of the material? Are you talking to Gronk on the phone?
I can't
what
wait to see.
What are you talking
see,
about?
I can't wait
Alex
to see the
sitting
old,
there, you know, like, chopping away on his legs?
I can't chop it. I can't wait to see the old.
This.
Can't wait to see the old footage of Brady as a kid with that big foam finger. Can't wait to see that.
Okay, but how long does that last? What does that do for you? Okay, Tom Brady documentary announced today, ESPN. It's coming out early 2021. 9 episodes. 9. Is it too early? Do you have any desire to see this? I think we all do if it were down the road 20 years from now, because there might be some good stuff, and 20 years later, people may want to really talk. But do we really want to see this next year? All right, 617-779-7937 right here on OMF.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
All right, back here on OMF, no Lou today. Lou's taking a long weekend, so he'll be off right through Monday. Christian and I are going to hang around, and we'll kind of scatter this thing through the next couple of weeks or whatever.
Weeks?
Yeah.
I mean, weeks.
Well, we've gone 93 days now without actually having a sporting event
93
here in
days,
Boston. Think about that, Ryan. 93 days. It's the longest in the century. Longest in the century.
That is amazing. I mean, that is amazing. But I tell you what, though. It's beginning. I'm starting to see it. And I don't like to use the New York Post as a guideline for, you know, the pulse of the United States. But I will say this. We've been talking about how this is going to actually get expedited, how it's going to speed up. People need to stand up, and they need to be more vocal. So the New York Post, front page, time to end it now. Time to end it now. They talk about, you know, bars and restaurants and nobody's in the city, politicians being inconsistent, nobody has a plan, or if they do have a plan, they change it. It's wishy-washy. And then they talk about how everybody's suffering. This is what we needed. And so that's one part of it. The other part is just how all these universities are, seems like they have a better grasp of the situation than the governors and the mayors. They have a better understanding of what's needed and what they're capable of than these mayors that are running these towns or these cities or these states. I tell you what, I know if college football is back, NHL is going to be back. NBA, probably not. Football will be back. Baseball, probably not, but not because they can't do it, because there's a money issue. But the teams that aren't strapped for some sort of weird contractual deal, they're going to be back.
I don't know what pills you're taking today, but...
happy pills.
Happy pills, that's what they are, because they're not realistic pills. They really aren't. When you say that the colleges have a better handle on it, well, the colleges have an agenda. And the agenda is, if we don't get sports underway and we don't fulfill the rights arrangements we have with TV networks, we're not going to get any money. And then all of our sports are going to dry up. That means there'll be no field
Wait
hockey.
A second.
There'll be no swimming.
Hold on.
Yeah.
Look, I mean, Glenn, so the presidents and the athletic directors, of course they have an agenda. They right. want to make money. You don't right. think the mayors and the governors have an agenda? Look at all the people who are out of work. I mean, their agenda should be, how do we get them back to work? How do we open up the city? Their agenda is no different. Their narrative is no different than any of these colleges. They're all businesses.
This is very politicized. You've seen how Florida has handled the situation and how the state of New York has handled it. Much different, okay? And it's very politicized. So when you sit there and you talk about, you're starting to feel it, yeah, in your circle of friends, my circle of friends, my friends are all getting antsy right now. They want to get back out there. They want to do this and that. But it's so political, it's so split that we're not on the same page. And if we don't get on the same page, nothing is going to get done. I mean, you talk about the Post, and today David Marcus of the Federalist has an opinion in the Post, and he's basically saying, let's get back. Well, I see that it's with Sean Hannity at night. I certainly know what their position is. Then I look at the Boston Globe, a very liberal newspaper, as we know, saying just the opposite, supporting Ayanna Pressley, who thinks that Charlie Baker is moving too quickly and we need to slow down. Here's their headline. Ayanna Pressley is right. Opening the state could close more caskets.
Not Jesus.
Okay? Talk about morbid. I mean, it's all politicized. So, and there are so many things that have to be done. So when you talk about the colleges, you and I talked about this with Lou yesterday. Colleges makes the most sense. You're dealing with kids. They're all between, 18 and 22 years old, 23 years old, maybe a little older with graduate students. And they are low risk in all of this. So they could actually test positive, carry on for 14 days, and then maintain immunity through all of this. Campuses are the perfect place right now to spread that herd immunity without really hurting people if you get the older people, the older professors, in a safe environment. So it makes all the sense in the world. Now, I'm not going to tell you that I think it's going to happen, Christian. It makes sense. You're right. Why can't colleges do it? But do you think the governors, do you think the mayors, do you think once we get positive test from college kids, do you think the rest of the world is going to act like you and I are? Just bear through it. They're fine. They're not 82. They don't have any pre-existing health conditions. They're going to be okay. Nope. They're going to freak out.
Well, I'll say this. Listening to athletic directors, like the dude out in Ohio State, what is it, Gene Smith?
Yes.
When he starts talking about what he can do, how they can fix it, you got to feel optimistic about it, Glenn. Have you heard this guy?
Yes.
Do we have
good,
it? Because,
yeah, we have it. Go ahead. Play it, Ryan.
Could we implement the current CDC guidelines, the state guidelines around physical distancing, mask requirements, and all those type of things in an outdoor environment and have obviously significantly less fans than what we are used to? I think it's possible. So I just feel like we have the talent and skill and the space capacity to provide an opportunity for a certain number of fans to have access to our particular stadium.
All right, he's an AD at a college, and he's going to say that. And then I'll guarantee you when the state in Ohio, and they go to a doctor and they say, what do you think about putting, we're not going to put 100,000, we're going to put 40,000, 50,000 in the stands. The doctor's going to say, absolutely not. There's no way you can freaking do it. It's got no chance. Zero.
Okay, did you hear
you're
what he said,
You're not
going
to hear any fans
in the
stands.
You missed what he said. You said, we have the energy, we have the capabilities, and then we also have the space. When you're talking about a stadium, when you're talking about, well, they have, you know, they seat over 100,000 people. So if they put 40 in there, I mean, they're still good. You're still going to get some noise. That's sometimes.
It's not happen. And you're dealing with academia because it's politicized.
About?
And when it comes to
my God.
It's politicized.
You've got to stop already.
Why are you asking me to stop? I'm on your side. I want this thing to push forward. I'm telling you, it's a dream that I have like you have, and we're wasting our time because it's not going to happen, Christian.
No, when I look at a school like Clemson, who has already come out and said, we're having school, students are going to live in the dorms, we're having classes, and we're having football.
Makes sense to me. Now, I don't know if you're going to do it with fans down there, but it makes...
Now, how is that political?
What do you mean, how is it
political? There's no...
I think... I just said it. That based on the ages you have... Now, you're going to have to get the older professors out of there. Would you agree? You can't have any professors over 60, 65 years of age on the campus or anybody working on the staff,
right? Well, but hold on.
Right?
But why? Why not?
What do you mean, why not?
Neither one of us...
what we're dealing with right now, you
can't. No. Okay. I go to class... I teach a class. My students sit in their desk, or sometimes it's an auditorium with 250 kids in it, depending on what school you go to. I stay away from the students. I'm 6 feet away from the students. Why can't I go to school? Why can't I teach? And if I am going wearing a mask and I am being safe. Just because
So, well, hold on.
You want to lower your risk? Fine. Don't teach.
Let me put my mask on right now. Hold on.
You put the microphone inside.
I'm going to start talking to you right now, Kirsten. Can you hear me right now? Because we're doing a lecture right now.
See, you're...
Are you ready for the lecture? I'm ready for the lecture. My mouth is great. You hear me now? Do you hear me?
Hey, you would actually have a protest. Hey, I didn't know what the hell the teacher was saying. Dean, he talked to the dean of students. Listen, I thought he said isthmus of whatever.
Listen, the college campus, as we said yesterday, it doesn't make any sense to me that they don't bring the kids back to college. And again, you protect the people who are at risk in this deal, and you put the kids in the campus. And they keep on telling us now that what we need is herd immunity. Well, it's the perfect demographic group to develop the herd immunity. And we're also hearing more and more cases now. And a doctor at Mass General reiterated it today with Dale and Keefe when he was talking about, we're learning now that once you get it, after the 14 days have passed, you are not going to pass it on to somebody else. You're not. And that's exactly what they're saying in the South Korean report and the same thing in the Australian report. They've done extensive testing on this. So it works in the college campus. And I don't know why they don't do it. You have a better chance, I think, of college coming back and college sports if people are being logical and they're using facts than you
but
do
I
with
also,
the first sports teams
I also
coming
say-
back.
Having fans, just assuming that you can't have fans in these stadiums that fit 80,000 people, I think is premature. I think it's premature. You can't have 20,000 fans there? Please.
I think it's very...
Come on.
Initially, it's going to be very difficult to have fans.
No, I don't think
I
don't
keep
think
on hearing...
Because
doctors are going to bitch about it.
Let them bitch! Let them bitch. They're going to bitch anyways.
Yeah, but that's...
Who gives a crap?
People give a crap. That's
says the doctor with a job that's getting paid, that has benefits, that's not suffering.
Bingo.
Go screw. Unless I'm sick, and then I think you're great. I'm thinking of Gillette Stadium. If you have, you know, groups of 3 or 10, every 10 rows, which is a lot more than 6 feet, and every time you go to the bathroom, you almost have to have a hall pass. You raise your hand, you get to go to the bathroom. And then, and there's no lines, and there's distancing. You can do it. You just, and nobody's getting completely hammered or polluted. You can have fans at the game. I'm telling you,
I don't even know why you're fighting this one. To me,
why am I fighting it?
I'd rather we go without the fans because I think it's the one way we can get sports. I think I want to get sports back.
The season doesn't start till September.
Why
are you making a decision
because
now
fans? You don't have to. You don't have to. Because I want to get sports back. Because the problem you have in September is nothing has changed. The medical experts are telling you this thing is coming back, and it's coming back with a wallop. We have a doctor today who's consulting with the NFL who's telling them to shorten your schedule because you don't want to have the playoffs and the Super Bowl in January and in February because that's when it may come back again. So you've got the boogeyman coming around the corner. So I can't believe they're going to put fans in the stands in September, October, and November when the experts are telling us this thing is coming back. So I don't want to even push for fans in the stands. I want to push to get the sports on the air, televised, so that they play the games and we get to watch them, Christian. I would be satisfied with that right now. I'm willing to go there, and then maybe next year we can add the fans into it. Matter of fact, I hope we can add the fans into it because by that time you should have a vaccine.
I will bet you a pizza stone that there will be fans in the stands for NFL games this year.
At the beginning of the season?
I said this year. I pulled a Tyler.
Okay.
I was very vague. And yeah, I think there will be.
I hope you're right by later on in the season, but I still fear
Imagine
not going to get there.
Glenn, November. So in November, the new basketball season would have started. The new NHL season would have started.
But Christian,
baseball would be
rounding out. The Faucis of the world are telling you that the boogeyman is coming back. So are you
I haven't heard of Fauci. Where's this Fauci guy? I haven't heard him.
Well, he's in quarantine now for 14 days because he was hanging around one of Mike Pence's guys, apparently, who tested positive. It's going to be very hard, I think, to put the fans. I don't even want to fight for the fans right now. I don't know why you're fighting that fight. I want to get these games because I don't think we're any closer. Did you hear James Harden, his comments? He doesn't want to do it. They don't want to come back.
He's lazy.
They don't want to. I'm telling you, the players don't want to come back.
I believe the NBA players don't want to come back. I do. I don't think that's the same way as the NHL. I think the NBA players are more prone to be like, whatever. And James Harden isn't winning an NBA Finals either. He's not winning a championship.
Yeah, but he's on one of the better teams in the league. I agree with you. I don't think he's winning squat, but he's on one of the better teams in the league. And you would sit there and say, you know, why doesn't he want to come back? And I think the problem is, you're right, they got paid a lot of their money, and they don't want to play in July and August in the summer. They don't want to do it.
Yeah, they want their summer.
Yeah, and you're going to get too many of the guys that are fighting it. I'm telling you, the first games we're going to have on a professional basis is going to be the NFL, and I'm convinced that Roger Goodell, you can call him an a-hole, you can call him whatever you want, he's the one guy that'll strap him on and say, I don't care what anybody is saying about me, okay? We are opening up on September the 10th. We're opening up.
I always believe that the NFL does the right thing at the end of the day.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
At the end of the day.
But they're willing to fight through. Even if it's not the right thing. They're willing to fight through and say, screw you. We're doing it our way. All right, we got last call. It's coming up next.
Time now for Last Call.
See you later.
I'm done.
And it's been a blast.
I think the show's been a lot of fun.
I mean, I'm letting you go.
No, I'll let it go.
Last Call.
And I'm thrilled about the end of it.
Our very, very best. You know, we've saved for last.
Head down the stretch they come.
Where'd you get a f***ing in?
Thanks for the ride, everybody. I'll see you around the block.
Bye-bye.
Now, it's Last Call on Ordway, Merlone, and Fourier.
Now would be a great time to clean out that garage, donate your old car to Cars for Kids, now offering contact-free pickup. Call today, 1-877-CARS-FOR-KIDS, or online, carsforkids.com. People have been wearing masks. People have been pissing and moaning about wearing masks. Here's a mother's rant on Facebook about wearing masks and how it personally affected her life. She may be overreacting, maybe a little bit here, Christian.
It was probably 45 minutes of having it on. It's the first time I've worn one. I am disoriented. Oh, I'm a little mad, if you can't tell that already. Like, I'm frustrated, but I don't feel good physically. Like, I can tell you right now, I wasn't getting enough oxygen, and I just had on one of these little stupid things. I feel dizzy. My hands are kind of tingly. My heart is beating fast. So some of it's an emotional reaction, but some of it's a physical reaction. I understand the virus is real. Okay, I understand the virus is real. Friends, look at the numbers and tell me why everybody's living in fear. Tell me why we're putting these things on and not being able to breathe. I just want to cry. Like, that's all I want to do is cry, because you can't see people's faces.
Uh-oh.
You can't make human connection. We can't hug people. We can't hold their babies.
We need to eat the
I'm
baby.
I'm at the end of it. Those of you that know me, like, I am one of the most compassionate, caring people you will ever meet.
And I'm sure you are.
And I do care about you.
Yeah, thanks.
But I also care about me and my children and my family. And I do care about my rights. And it's probably the last time I'm wearing this, because I feel terrible. I feel emotionally terrible, but I feel physically like it affected me. So... Anyway, there you go.
Thanks for sharing, lady. I would say this, and I'm a believer in civil liberties, and I'm concerned about a lot of this taking away some of our civil liberties. I don't really have a problem with the mask. The mask is the least of the issues, right? Is the mask a real bad deal? You don't do it when you're in the car. You only do it when you're going into a supermarket or you're being around other people.
You can't make human connection.
Is that a big deal?
Yeah, I don't like holding other people's babies anyway, so that's a good thing.
I'm at the end of it.
I hate when someone's like, hey, I want to hold my baby. No, I got seven.
I don't want to start eating babies.
I don't get why somebody would piss and moan about the mask. Now, if you had to wear the mask all day long, continuously, that might be an issue. But, I mean, really, in society now, where are you wearing it?
How about Julian? Because you can't see people's faces.
Julian Edelman running routes with his mask on was a total hardo move in my book.
Yeah,
really. Are we really? Why are you doing that?
Jules is just showing the rest of the world that he can
look,
go out there.
You should do what I do. Brady's not even wearing a mask.
The videos that you see now, where people will go into like a Costco, or they go into a big box store, and they're not wearing a mask, and then somebody's coming up and attacking them and getting into their face. I mean, why would you do that? If I see somebody come into one of those stores and they don't have a mask, I'm going in the other direction. Why do I want to confront them? What am I getting out of it? You know, am I going to be the a-hole to sit and confront them? No, I'm getting away from them, because if they have it, I don't want to catch it. Hey, Mutt.
But you're an a-hole anyway, Glenn. We know that. But it's not your problem to go do it. It's the poor store clerks that have to go up. Like, some manager says to some $8 an hour worker, hey, can you go ask that random dude over there to put his mask on, like Fortier, when he's in line at Lowe's? I've heard reports that he does not wear his mask all the time.
Is that true?
Those weren't reports. He said
it's not a report. That's true. I'm not wearing it.
He's not a big mask guy.
No. That's not true. I am a mask guy, but I'm not wearing a mask if I'm outside and you're 10 feet away from me. I'm not doing it.
If you're in line at a store, you won't wear a mask.
Am I in the store?
Hold his breath.
Am I in the store?
You're in line at the store.
Yeah, of course.
Okay, but in line to wait to get into the store.
No.
That is scientist Christian Fourier.
How about this on a Friday night after some margaritas at the Mascawan? Is the mask?
That's a different mask.
You were just bested by really good logic. Don't even try to fight back on that one.
That's a different mask.
It's a different story there, Mutt. That's not me you're talking to.
What's going on tonight?
Oh my God, a loaded show tonight. So much loaded to get to. Tommy Kern will join us, and then the 8 o'clock ender, 8 o'clock hour. Sorry, already saying her name. Amanda Baliones will join us. Amanda is doing the sideline for the match on Sunday on Turner for Tiger Woods and Peyton Manning against Brady and Phil Mickelson. And
She will join us in the 8 o'clock hour.
I'll tell you what, Mutt, you get some real good guests. I always love your guests. You get some timely, topical guests on your show. Excellent job, bud. I always tune in for those.
Your producers are looking at me like, what is he trying to get at here?
You know nothing.
No. You told our mystery yesterday you were mad that you weren't included in the threesome.
That is actual quote.
Jackie McMullen.
Nothing's better than the mystery guest.
You said she turned you on.
Oh, I agree. I love the mystery guest.
I love Jackie McMullen. I said I have a crush on her.
Yes.
I have a crush on her, okay? But I like him. That I would love to hear that. That's interesting, actually. Okay.
Well, you can listen on demand. You won't hear it live, I know that. I'll send a link on demand on Twitter later on.
Appreciate it.
You got it.
8 o'clock tonight. All right, Mutt, have a good show. All right.
Later, boys.
Mutt at Night is coming up next.
Christian and I are back tomorrow.
It's the Friday edition of OMF Tomorrow with Two. Stay safe.
Done with this.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.